Hello, everyone. We're continuing on with Thomas Manton, an exposition with notes upon the Epistle of James. And last time we finished verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And Lord willing, we're going to continue on with the next and should be last verse of chapter 3, which is verse 18. I'll go ahead and read that now. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, these words are the conclusion of the whole discourse, intimating the happiness of them who have the wisdom formerly described. The words have been diversely expounded, some in this way, that peaceable men do sow a seed that afterward will yield sheaves of comfort into their bosoms, as if the meaning were that in their peaceable endeavors they did sow the seed of the everlasting reward which afterwards they should receive in heaven. Others render it in this way, that though they do with a great deal of modesty and sweetness bear with many evils, yet they do not leave off to sow the seed of righteousness. The first sense makes it an argument of persuasion, the next an anticipation of an objection. The first notes the happiness of the reward, the last the quality of their endeavors. And which is to be preferred? I answer, I suppose that may be compounded and drawn into one. Their sowing implying the hope and expectation of the reward, and their sowing the fruit of righteousness, the quality of their endeavors, which will appear by a fuller explication of the terms. Okay? Now he goes through the words of the verse. The fruit of righteousness, it is an expression elsewhere used, as Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ to the praise and glory of God. So Romans 6:22, having your fruit to holiness, etc. And again, Hebrews 12:11, afflictions yield the quiet fruit of righteousness. In short, the fruit of righteousness, either that fruit which is of righteousness, to wit, eternal life, which is the reward that God has promised to sanctification, or else it is put for holiness and sanctification itself, which is called fruit in Scripture, and that in many regards. Number one, in regard of the root, which is Christ, John 15, verses 5 and 16. Number two, because they are the free, native, and noble offspring of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in us, whereas lusts and sins, lusts usually meaning more generally corrupt desires of the heart. So whereas lusts and sins are a servile drudgery, that is the reason why the apostle expresses himself with such difference, Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh, but in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Number three, because of the increase and growth, as fruits by degrees come to maturity and ripeness. So Philippians 1:11, thus in the Canticles, or Song of Solomon, we read of buds and tender grapes. Number four, because of its excellent and happy reward, it will be fruit, not an empty and dry tree, so Romans 6:22. And number five, in regard of the delay of this reward, it will be fruit, though now seed. Therefore, he says, the fruit of righteousness is sown, which is the next term. So he goes on in the verse, is sown. It implies either their care of holiness, they have sown it, or the sureness of the reward of grace. It is not as water spilt upon the ground, but as seed cast into the ground. You do not lose your labor. Such endeavors will yield an increase. See Isaiah 32:17. Or lastly, it implies their non-enjoyment of the reward for the present. They do not reap, but sow now. How the harvest of a peaceable righteousness is not so soon had. It is usual in Scripture to express such effects in consequence of things as do not presently follow by sowing and plowing. The next words, in peace, the meaning is either in a peaceable and sweet way, but that seems to be expressed in the last clause, that make peace, or else with much spiritual tranquility and comfort, much rest and peace in their souls for the present. So Hebrews 12:11, the peaceable fruit of righteousness or sanctification brings peace with it. The next words, of them that make peace. So Christ said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. It implies not the event and success, but the endeavor or care. The notion of making in Scripture, phrase belonging to the bent of the soul, as to make a lie, or you know, be lying, is to be given to lying. So 1 John 2:29, everyone that doth or maketh righteousness, etc. So 1 John 3:8, he that doth or maketh sin, and note the full bent and inclination of the soul. So to make peace is to have strong and hearty affections this way. So that you may take the words as a direction to duty, and the sense is that they that are studious of peace ought to have a care of sowing righteousness, or as a promise of a blessing, and then you take the words this way, they that with their peaceable endeavors couple a care or join together a care of righteousness, they shall have a threefold blessing, increase of grace with peace for the present, and shall reap the crop of all hereafter. Now he goes on to his observations, his notes. Observation one, whatever we do in this life is seed. As we sow, so we reap. The footnote, the metaphor is used of all moral actions, either good or evil. See how the scripture follows this metaphor both ways, in point of sin or duty. In sin, see Galatians 6:8 and Job 4:8, so Proverbs 22:8, Hosea 8:7. It may be long first, but the crop will be according to the seed. They have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. The whirlwind is nothing but wind imprisoned in the bowels of the earth. And so it is an excellent allusion to note the damage and ruin which they receive who study nothing but vain or useless things. In duty or good actions, Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy, etc. That is, endeavor good works, and you will find God propitious. They are the way, not the cause. God shows mercy according to works, though not for the works. So in particular, it is applied to charity, 2 Corinthians 9:6, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. So to penitent tears, Psalm 126:5, they shall sow in tears and reap in joy. There is an intimate connection between our endeavors and the Lord's recompenses. Number one, let it press us to care of our actions. They are seed. They fall upon the ground, not to be lost, but to grow up again. We may taste the fruits of them long after they be committed. Be sure you sow good seed. To help you, consider there must be a ground prepared, Hosea 10:12, if you would reap mercy, plow up your fallow ground. So Jeremiah 4:3-4. The heart is like waste ground till it be prepared by breaking or plowing. Then let the actions be good for principle, manner, and end or purpose. We must not only do good, but do well. A man may sin in doing good, but not in doing well. Chiefly, you must regard the end or purpose, and that's God's glory. A tree bears fruit for the owner, Hosea 10:1. Israel is an empty vine that bringeth forth fruit to himself. Actions done with a carnal aim are not seed. They lose their fruit and reward with God, Matthew 6:1. Number two, have a care of the season. It is the seed time. A husbandman would not lose that. Eternity depends upon this moment. Now we sow our everlasting wheel or woe, I guess that's kind of a joy or woe. To take heed of sowing nothing, then you can expect nothing. He had not a drop that would not give a crumb. And take heed of sowing to the flesh. When others have their bosoms full of sheaves, you will be empty. The foolish virgins made a great cry when their vessels were empty, etc. Number 3, ground of hope to the children of God. Their works are not lost. It is seed that will spring up again. Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast thy bread upon many waters, and after many days thou shalt find it. Thy bread, that is, thy bread corn. Faith, which is the evidence of things not seen, can look for a crop out of the waters. If the reward were sure, men would act more uniformly and proportionably to their hopes. Oh, consider, whatever you do to God or for God, it is seed. Wicked men count it lost, a vain profusion or worthless profusion, or as foolish a course as plowing the ocean or scattering seed upon the sea. Aye, but you will find it again. There is no loss by serving God. Malachi 3, verse 14. Number 4, it is comfort to us. Here we are miserable. It is our seed time that is usually in tears. You must expect the harvest later on and go forth expecting it. Psalm 97, verse 11, light is sown for the righteous. It is buried out of sight, but it will spring up again. The corn must first die in the ground. You cannot sow and reap in a day. The patient abiding of the righteous shall not perish forever. That's the end of observation 1. Observation 2, that a care of righteousness brings peace with it. All good actions cause a serenity in the mind. The kingdom of grace yields joy unspeakable, 1 Peter 1:7, though not glory unspeakable. We have songs in our pilgrimage, Psalm 119:54. God will have us to enter upon our possession by degrees. Joy enters into us before we enter into our master's joy. We have first the day star, then the sun, S-U-N, Christ himself in person. What a good master do we serve that gives us a part of our wages ere or before we have done our work or completed it. While we are sowing, we have peace, the conscience and contentment of a good action. There is no work like God's work. In the keeping of his commands, there is reward, Psalm 19, verse 7. Sin brings shame and horror, but gracious actions leave a savor of sweetness and diffuse a joy throughout the soul. There is no feast to that of a good conscience, Jeremiah 2, verse 5. What iniquity did your fathers find in me? Did you ever lose by communion with God? A man cannot do an ill action without blame, but how quietly do we enjoy ourselves when we have enjoyed our God? Conscience of duty gives the purest contentment to the mind. Base comforts and sinful satisfactions are bought with clamor of conscience, and then they are bought very dear. What a great reward may we expect, since we have so much joy and peace in the expectation of it. How great are the joys of heaven, since the very interest in them casts such a lightsome brightness upon the soul. If the taste be such, what is the fullness? If the morning glances and forerunning beams be so glorious, what will the high noon be? If there be songs in your pilgrimage, you will have hallelujahs in your country in heaven. Observation 3, it is the duty of God's children to sow the fruit of righteousness in peace. The oil of grace and the oil of gladness do well together. That you may not lose the comfort of grace, live socially with God and sweetly with men. Number 1, socially with God. Maintain a constant and intimate communion and commerce between you and heaven, that your fellowship may indeed be with the Father and the Son, 1 John 1, verse 5. Neglect of God makes the conscience restless and clamorous, Acquaint thyself with God and be at peace, Job 22, verse 21. When David had discontinued his intercourse and communion, he lay a-roaring, Psalm 32. Things can never be quiet out of their center. After gross neglects and strangeness, conscience will scourge you. Number two, be sweetly with men. An austere man troubles his own flesh. There is a holy amiableness as well as a strict righteousness. It is said of Jesus Christ, Luke 2:52, he increased in favor with God and man. We should walk in his steps in a holy strictness and an amiable sweetness. Athanasius was adamant and a lodestone, adamant stone, which is very hard, and a lodestone, neither of a loose easiness nor of an uncivil austerity. Do this, and you will increase in comfort and grace. Couple or join a sweet goodness with a severe righteousness. Observation four, from that, those words, them that make peace, that true lovers of peace are and must be also lovers of righteousness. Peace without righteousness is but a sordid compliance. Righteousness without peace is but a rough austerity. They are not true friends to peace that can enhaunt with wicked men, digest violations of God's law, truth, and worship, because ease is good, and go on with a sleepy and careless silence, can violate truth and debase it, stupidly bear, or like if you're in a stupor, bear with errors without witnessing against them. These, while they seek to knit with men, like knitting or joining with men, they disjoin themselves from God, and while they would make up a strife with others, they make a greater between God and their own souls. So on the other side, they are not true friends to righteousness that have no care of making peace. Hypocrites carry on all things with a blind and brawling violence. It is true, God's children cannot choose but speak warmly, but I intend those that care not what ruptures they make, how they disadvantage the cause of religion, so as they may discharge or disgorge their rage and passion. John 13:35. By this shall ye know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. As to men, that is the badge or note. Sons of God are not usually sons of the coal. Oh, that we could learn this holy art of coupling righteousness with peace, that we could reprove with faithfulness and yet bear with meekness, that we might not do the office of an executioner, but a surgeon. Be zealous and yet with temperateness and moderation. But of this before, I believe he says he spoke of it before. And observation five, that a righteous peaceableness is blessed with grace here and glory hereafter. This verse is a promise as well as a direction. This is our comfort against all the difficulties and inconveniences that holy and peaceable endeavors meet with in the world. Your reward is with God. You have a pledge of it in your own souls. While strifes lessen grace in others, you grow and thrive, and you shall reap in glory. Amen. All right, that is the end of verse 18 and brings us to an end of chapter 3. And Lord willing, we will go on to chapter 4 next time. But until then, go in sowing the seeds of righteousness and holiness in your hearts and in your lives, and seeking God for help to do that. And looking forward to the reward that is Christ himself in heaven one day. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.